Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
A praise of the nations. Father, we call upon you, we wait upon you, and we receive that which you have for us in this time and this season. We return praise and we return glory to you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we glad to be in this first vigil of this year? Are we glad to be them that wait upon the Lord? You know, scripture talks about they that wait upon him by night. Hallelujah. The scripture talks about they that wait upon him by night. And there's this song we used to sing. Come bless the Lord. O ye servants of the Lord. Who stand by night. In the house of the Lord. Says, and there were shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. Does it make sense? Does it make sense that you are watching flock by night? The flock is asleep. So the normal thing is for the shepherd to also be asleep. But I can tell you, they were not the only shepherds, but they were the shepherds that were awake at that time. Hallelujah. There is something about waiting upon the Lord at season and times when others are resting. If you were God, who would you visit? You know, if you were God, who would you visit? Is it the man that is asleep or the man that is awake? The man that is awake is the man that has expectation. The man that is awake is the man that is preparing himself to receive something. Isn't this so? And so the Bible says that night, when the angels were going round, they were not looking for the men, for those who were asleep. They were looking for those who were awake. Do you remember in scripture, when the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt, when the Bible says that night that the angel of death will visit Egypt, Now, what was the inscription, instruction God gave? He told them, he said, you will eat the Passover candy. He said, you will pack your bags, prepare to go. Once you hear the instruction, you'll be ready to move. Just imagine if you were sleeping that night. Even if the angel of death missed your house, you will not leave Egypt. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. There is something about a people who are prepared. And when a man is prepared, God visits that man who is prepared. I pray that your preparation and being present tonight will not go to waste in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please be seated briefly as we share from the word of God. We are still going to be praying, and we're still going to be looking at a few things tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because of the so much that because of what I believe the Lord would have me do this year, I want to continue a little bit, just a little bit, in what I began to teach on Sunday, provoking, or how to provoke divine visitations. Praise the Lord. How to what? Provoke divine visitations. When God visits, there are two ways God can visit. God can visit a man out of his unilateral will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A visitation can occur as a result of the unilateral will of God. That is that he doesn't ask your opinion. He doesn't tell it. He decides to visit. Praise God. When the angel visited Mary, she was not expecting. Are you understanding what I'm saying? She was not expecting. Amen. In fact, there's the funny part of it was when Mary visited Elizabeth. Hallelujah. You know, when Mary visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth made a statement. She said, who am I that the mother of my Lord will visit me? And the Bible says the moment Mary entered the house of Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped. Hallelujah. It leaped. I believe it was bowing. Praise God. But you know, there's not much space for bowing. So the bowing looked like leaping. Hallelujah. So there is a unilateral visitation that God brings. But I have discovered that a man that is expecting something does not wait for that unilateral visit. Even though God may decide within his sovereign will to visit you, God has also created opportunities for us to call upon him, to demand a visitation. Hallelujah. So scripture will say, call upon me and I will answer. Call upon me and I will answer. In other words, if I was going to look at that man that was by the pool, how many years was he there? 38 years waiting for a unilateral sovereign visitation of God. But how about Jabez? Hallelujah. Jabez said, no, I can't. I don't have 38 years. How many have 38 years here? How many people have 20 years to wait for visitation? I don't know about you, but I don't have that time. Praise God. Have you read scripture where it says, satisfy us early with your mercies? Are you understanding what I'm saying? You don't have that time. You don't have that time. So you need to move. Since you have an opportunity to place a demand that God will do, place that demand. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so therefore, we're talking about provoking, or how to provoke divine visitations. And on Sunday, I said something that I have about 7 points with me. And on Sunday, we began to look at the first point, which was disobedience. Hallelujah. Obedience. Amen. And now I want to just finish up on that obedience and enter one thing, and then we're going to pray. When we say people through obedience, the Bible says when Abraham obeyed God, you remember the last scripture we were looking at, and God said to Abraham, because you have done this thing. Do you know that some of you, for just coming for this vigil, something will happen in your life this year? For just coming here. You know, sometimes I said something to you, that many times when God wants to bless you and he makes a demand on you, it is not that he needs you to obey that particular thing for him to bless you, but obedience to that thing reveals your heart towards him. It reveals your heart towards him. It reveals how you see him. Because disobedience is actually a disregard to God's authority. When you look at when you look at what disobedience is a disregard to the authority of God. Hallelujah. It's a disregard to the authority of God. Disobedience is a willful departure from God's will. You know this is God's will, but you decide to do otherwise. It's a willful departure from God's will. You know? So obedience is the way. Listen. Obedience is the way God tests our hearts. When God wants to test your heart, when God wants to know which kind of person you are, you know, if you know that Saul, you know that King Saul is the figure, is the biblical figure that represents disobedience. And you know, God said to Saul, he said, when you were small in your own eyes, when you were nobody, I picked you and I made you king over this. I said, and I sent you to go and kill everything that was in Amalek, and you disobeyed. You showed me your heart. God said, it showed that you didn't qualify. You know, let me tell you something. People say God did not choose Saul. Forget, God chose Saul. Read scripture very well. Saul went doing something. It was God that picked him. And you know, you know the thing, you know what Saul lost? What David became was what Saul lost. Saul would never have, the Bible says, see, God said to him, said, I would have established your kingdom forever. He said, but from now on, your kingdom will not last any longer. I'm praying that none of us will experience that. That the fullness of what God has for us, we are going to experience it in Jesus' name. So, when obedience is the way God tests our hearts. And you see, the thing is this. God, the first test that God does upon the life of a man is he tests the heart. Because the Bible says something. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Another version of the Bible says, for out of it comes the course of your life. In other words, if I measure your heart, if I know the tendencies your heart has, if I know the leaning of your heart, I can tell where you will eventually arrive at. If somebody's heart is straight today, are you hearing me? The heart looks straight today. If God measures your heart, God knows whether your heart will become cornered and crooked in the future. So when God tests a man, he tests his heart. And the way God tests your heart is that he tests your heart through your obediences. What are the things that you are willing to obey, and what are the things that you are unwilling to obey? And when we talk about obedience, so listen, don't always count obedience from something that is very far. You must begin to count obedience from the things that are very close to you. From the small, small things, the things that look like they don't matter. The things that look like they don't matter. Those are the places that God begins to measure a man's heart and measure the obediences a man follows. It doesn't begin from the big things. It begins from the small things. And let me say this to you. If you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you will discover that you will walk in certain obedience. Let me tell you this. Most of the things that, even from a secular perspective, we struggle with, is actually, are you hearing me? Is actually the root of it comes from our disobedience to the Holy Spirit. Even the things that look in from a circle, let me tell you something. One day I was taking pure water. And I entered my car with the pure water. As I entered my car with the pure water, and I finished it, I was trying to throw it out. The Holy Spirit said, eh. That was how I held that bag of pure water and moved round town with it until I arrived back home with it, because I couldn't find a place that I could throw. I'm telling you, listen, many of the things that you see that you are looking as a citizen, just as a citizen, you are not supposed, the demand of scripture is greater than that. If you obey the scripture, you will be a good citizen. But you are not hearing what I'm saying. If you are obeying scripture, you will be a good citizen. One day I dropped a bag of pure water somewhere at a filling station. The Holy Spirit said, eh. No, I'm telling you, is as small as that. So many times we think that when we talk about disobedience, we are usually looking at something that is very big. Many times it begins from the things that are very small. God will begin to measure your obediences on things that are small. And let me tell you something. Many times the reason why, and listen, I want you to get this. The reason why, even from a spiritual standpoint, we are not able to command certain spiritual authorities, are you hearing me? Is because of the level of our obedience. The Bible says that, and you will be ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. In other words, there are certain things that rise up in disobedience against you, sir. When they rise up, what they do actually is that they measure you. The moment they notice your obedience is complete, they bow before you. It's not everything that you rebuke Satan about. There are things that Satan just looks at this man and says, "No." That was the reason why they said, "Paul, we know. Jesus, too, we know." But they said to this one, "You, who are you?" The question was that there were certain compliances that were not in the lives of these people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so, therefore, they have not earned the right to be able to say anything to those things. So, listen to me. If you are going to provoke, and let me say this to you. The cheapest way to provoke divine visitation is obedience. I said to us something on Sunday. I said, Andrew Womack said he does not pray for any program. He said if it is God that told him to do it, he said he doesn't need to pray about it. Now, I said something to you yesterday, that Sunday. I said, don't go and say, okay, you too, you will not. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But I'm telling you that this man understood something. Kenneth Hagin said it in another way. Kenneth Hagin said, people make their plans and ask God to bless it. He said, but God's plans come blessed. That is that if God told you to do something, then his plans are already blessed. You just need to walk in them. You just need to walk in them. And so therefore, the first way, the first key, and let me even say the cheapest key to walking, to provoking divine visitation is walking in obedience. And there are things that God, that when I said, sometimes God, let me put it this way, that when we say obedience, it can be obedience to constituted authority. It can be obedience, you know, many times when we, like I said, when we think of obedience, we are actually always thinking of very big things. And sometimes God is looking at the small things. God is looking at the small things. It can be that, okay, I used to tell people, I said, you know, if you're a pastor, you're not a police officer. You don't have the instructions you give, in quote, does not have the force of law. That is, I cannot, if I tell us to fast now, if you are not fasting, I can't go and lock you up for not fasting. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no physical, you know, punishment, you know, for not doing it. But it has spiritual implication. You may, on the physical, look all right. You did not obey. Because, are you understanding what I'm saying? But then, it may take something in your destiny that you don't know. So, God looks at our obediences. Amen. And I want to talk quickly this evening, in continuation of this issue of obedience. Jesus said something. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So when God wants to test your loyalty to him, he looks at the things that you are willing to obey. So the Bible says, because Jesus obeyed these things, the Bible says he gave him a name that is above every other name. That the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to talk to us this evening quickly. I'm going to look at this point, continuing the issue of obedience. And then I want us to look at seven dimensions of disobedience. Seven dimensions of disobedience. The first dimension of disobedience is outright rebellion. Outright rebellion. When a person decides to be rebellious, to disobey outrightly, When God says go left, you say I'm going right. When God says go to the front, you say I'm going to the back. Outright disobedience. That's the first reason. That doesn't need too much explanation. Is that right? Everything that God says do not, and you decide you will. Outright disobedience. And let me say this, oh. When we say outright disobedience, we're not just talking about 10 commandments. Are you hearing me, Pastor Mao? If God says to you, because in the New Testament, there is more that God is telling us through his spirit than what we are. You hearing what I'm saying? If at this vigil right now, God says to you, Pastor Mao, when this vigil is over, don't go home. Stay back and pray for another hour. And you behave like you heard him until people begin to walk out. And then you see that the hall is empty. And you decide that, Kai, maybe that's not what... I'm not sure I can do this. I mean, let me tell you something. When we were in university, I got a book. The book blessed me so much. Such a blessing. And I had a friend. So I took the book. And I went to see that my friend. And I said, I read this book. This book blessed me. You know? And I gave him the book. And I think I left for weekend or something. We didn't meet for a few days. And that time there was no GSM and all of that. And one day I was in school. And we're in two different departments. So I was working in school. And I saw him. So when I met him, I was coming to ask him how far with the book, you know, everything. He was holding the book in his hand. He said, I'm also looking for you. I said, okay. He said, I read this book. He said, everything the writer said is true. But I know I cannot obey it. And he gave me back the book. He said, everything in it, I know is true. He said, but I cannot do it. And he gave me back the book. There are people like that walk, they know, are you hearing what I'm saying? They decide, I will not do this thing. And let me tell you something. Every time God brings the revelation of his word to you, there's nothing that God can do to you beyond that. Because every time the revelation of God's word comes to you, it comes to you with the capacity for you to obey. Now, when the Bible says that, there were men that fell short of the grace of God, was that when the word of God came to them concerned, that, you know, it's Hebrews chapter 4. He said, let not any of you be like prophet Esau and or anyone that is a fornicator. Or the Bible says, or anyone that has fallen, that fell short of the grace of God. So every time the word of God comes to you, the grace of God to obey that word that you have heard also comes to you. It's a scripture that says, I had the word and the spirit entered me and stood me upon my feet. In other words, every time I hear the word of God, the spirit of God that enables you to obey the instructions of that word is also given to you. But when you receive the word of God and you do not obey that word of God, it means you have rejected the grace of God that came with that word. You have fallen short of the grace. That's what it means to fall short of the grace of God. That is that God releases grace towards you to be able, are you hearing what I'm saying? To be able to do something. It may not even be the word of God in preaching. It may just be that something is happening and the Spirit of God whispers to you at that moment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody might have just somebody might have just provoked you, said something to you or did something to you, and you want to react. And the word of God comes to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the word of God comes to you. And maybe the word of God just comes to you and says to you, somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to your left. And you say, you look at yourself, you look at the person, say, I turn my left. And you decide to respond in the flesh. You have rejected the grace of God at that moment. You have walked in disobedience at that moment. So first form or first dimension of disobedience is when there is a willful rebellion to God's word or to God's will. The second one is subjective. The Bible says, to him that knows to do a thing and refuses to do it. This one is not applicable to everybody. It's very personal to you. You know you are supposed to do something. And the Bible says, and you refuse to do it. You know. See, somebody may even be sitting beside you And the person that's sitting beside you may even be supporting your rebellion. But you know that I'm walking in rebellion. Somebody beside you, I'm telling you, somebody beside you may even be supporting, you may look at it from an objective point like this, and you can just, I have the right to do this. But you know in your heart that God is not permitting you, or God is saying otherwise. And let me tell you something. In reality, when you see people fail, they fail at this level. Most people who fail, they fail at this level. That is that on the outside, nobody can fault you. But in your spirit, you see, this Christian walk, there is the inner man of the heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is the inner man of the heart. In your spirit, you know that on the outside, you can justify your action. But on the inside, you know. And let me tell you something. This Christianity, are you hearing what I'm saying? As many as are led by the Spirit. It's not, so when you come to this level of walk with God, people on the outside can be clapping for you. People on the outside can be saying you are trying. But God, you and God know you failed. That is, let me tell you something. If in the past 6 months you have not apologized to somebody who on the outside looks subordinate to you, looks lower than you in status, something may be wrong with your walk with God. Because there will be seasons when you will go, you will do something that is wrong to somebody who is a subordinate. And if you are walking with the Holy Spirit will tell you, you just, are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will say, go on. It may even be your son or your daughter. It may be an assistant in the office. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, go and apologize to that person. And let me tell you something. I say something to you, that when God gives you those kind of instructions, he is not really worried about, no, God is forming your character. At that point, God is testing your humility. So that if you are willing to go to that person that you consider lower than you and say sorry to that person, what happens is that God tempers with your heart so that you can be able to be comfortable in the place of humility. And so for me, every time I sense God is, I do something to somebody who I consider a subordinate, and the Holy Spirit brings it to my attention, is an opportunity for me to stay in the place of humility. And you know what? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When the Lord showed me the revelation of that scripture, when God showed me the revelation of that scripture, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Bible didn't say that the humble goes and seeks for grace. He said he gives grace. That is that, I have given illustration before, Pastor Malcolm, that when a man is proud, God constitutes, try to pass. When a man is proud, God constitutes himself as an opposition to that man. God, in other words, God just wants to let you know that without me, you can do nothing. So are you hearing what I'm saying? You are trying to make progress. Try to make progress. God constitutes himself an opposition to you. But listen, when you humble yourself, God now constitutes himself as a force to push you into destiny. What you didn't ask for, God will still push you into it. So he gives grace to the humble. The humble does. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you walk in, let's say you walk in obedience to humble yourself, what you have actually done is that you have accessed grace. What you have actually done is that you have accessed grace. People may look at you on the outside and say, you are too big for this. Why are you acting like this? No. What you have done is that you have accessed grace. What you have done, you have accessed grace. And And that's how many people miss out on the grace of God. So, he that knows to do a thing and refuses to do it, to him it is a sin. So, the second one is subjective. Number two, when God gives you an instruction and you water down that instruction, you may never experience a divine visitation. God gives you an instruction. God sends you, or God asks you to do something, or the Spirit of God asks you to do something, and then you water it down. You weaken the strength of that instruction. Number three, when you edit instructions, you know there are people who edit instructions. Yes. You now produce the instruction in your image and after your likeness. You did not, it's not as if you didn't do, but you did it in your own way. Have you ever had a leading to pray? And you sense in your heart that this prayer is 1 hour. Then you prayed for like 25 minutes and you checked your time. And you saw that this 25 minutes I prayed so far. I have 35 minutes to go. Then you decided to read the Bible for 15 minutes. And you decided to do praise worship for the rest. And God told you, pray in the spirit for 1 hour. I have a friend of mine, a man of God. He walks, he's a pastor, but he also walks. So, one day, he had a leading to pray. So, he came back home, he had a leading to wake up and pray. So, he came back from work, and he was very tired. So, he set up his alarm. So, the alarm, you know, the alarm rang about the time but he was very tired. And he has a room where he prays. So, he was lying down. He lay down on the ground, on the floor in his room, so that when it's time to, he didn't want to lie down on the bed, so that he will not, so he lay down on the ground. So when it was time to pray, he usually prays in his parlor. So there's the door, you know, it's one room apartment, room and parlor. So when it was time to pray, and the alarm rang, he put off the alarm. He said, let me show God that I'm really interested in prayer. He crawled and put his hand into the room he prays. He said, Lord, he said, let this be a sign. Let this be a sign. He just stretched out his hands into the room while he prays. You know? You know, when you edit an instruction to fit, are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, have you hear about those people who they write on their wall when they want to, when they've written the prayer for every meal on their dining table. So when it's time to eat, they just look at it and say amen. They just lift up their head and just say amen. They've written the prayer there. Hallelujah. Don't edit it. Amen. Don't edit it. Number four, incomplete obedience. Some people, God gives you an instruction, you begin it, but you don't finish it. Or you come to the middle of the instruction to do it. Some people begin the instruction. They do like they will do it. Praise God. 21 days of fasting, you look like you will do it. Then you get to 10 days. Or you get to 7 days. And you say, they went through round Jericho 7 days. They went round Jericho 7 days. You know, praise God. You come up with a revelation. You know, it was 7 days around Jericho. On the seventh day, the wall fell down. By this seventh day, every wall in my life for 2027, every barrier has fallen down already. So you share grace for the rest of the days. You know, you don't end up with the rest of the days. Incomplete obedience is not obedience. Some people pick, number five, some people pick certain obediences and choose which part they will do. So they say, we're going to be praying, we're praying and fasting, you know. So they say, today we are breaking with water. You say, cry. You know, the most important thing is to fast. It doesn't matter what you break with. So you pick and choose. You pick and choose which one you obey. You pick and choose which one you obey. You know, some of us, our fasting has officially ended by 12. Because they, you even justify, say, you know, even on Sundays, by 12 we end. You are not a child, you are not sick, there's no reason. You have just decided. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. This was the kind of disobedience of Saul. God told him, go and kill everybody. And Samuel came. Samuel said, what is this bleating of the sheep that I hear? He said, you know, the young men. You know, when I read that scripture, Saul is a very wonderful person. He said, the young men. It's as if he wasn't there. It's like he came from another different war and met the young men carrying the sheep. He said, the young men carried it. The young men. You know, you know, that's what we do sometimes. In our payments of tithes, we paid salary, but all the other allowances, arrears, we don't remember those ones. It doesn't fall inside it. All the gifts you get, it doesn't fall inside it. You are very committed. When it comes to your salary, you pay the tithe. But when somebody bless you, when you get an income you didn't expect, you didn't see, you think that God didn't see that one. So God asked Ananias and Sapphira. He said, what was it that you promised God? You think God is not looking at it? You know, I used to wonder. They said, Jesus, he came and sat down by the place they were paying offering. He sat down by there. You know, how do you think Jesus knew that the woman, it was 10 kobos she put inside the offering? Jesus was looking at it. And he asked people, said, of all the people who gave, who do you think gave the greatest? Is it the people that came with bags of money? He said, no, he said, that woman. He said, these people gave out of their abundance, but this one, she gave out of all that she had. When you want to obey God, obey him fully. Don't pick and choose which one you will obey. Sometimes we are willing to obey God in the small things. And sometimes we are only willing to obey God in the things that look big. And many times when we obey God in the things that look big, it's because there is some form of public praise that we get. Yes. Dimensions of disobedience. Delayed obedience. Or when you obey with grumbling. When you obey, but you obey with grumbling. That was the kind of obedience of the children of Israel. They obeyed, but they were complaining with it. They were grumbling around. And it was the murmuring that offended God. It was the murmuring that offended God. They kept murmuring. They kept murmuring. And that murmuring was what weakened their obedience. Because it was a sign that they did not obey him with the whole of their heart. And scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Some people obey God. You know about Amaziah, King Amaziah. The Bible says he served God, but not with the whole of his heart. He did not serve him with a perfect heart. So some people serve God quite all right, but they are not sold out. It is not with a perfect heart. And let me tell you something. If you don't understand, that was what Paul was talking about in the book of Corinthians. He said, let every man be careful how he builds. Actually, that how you build is not, that how you build is the motivations of your heart. Hallelujah. So, you know, you do something, but God knows that even though you did it, your heart was not completely into it. You did not, you know, that was the problem with Cain's offering. That was why God rejected Cain's offering. Some people say he gave vegetables. It was not because it was vegetables. It was not because it was fruits. When you look at the offering of Abel, Scripture describes it. And Abel took of the first and of the best. But when you look at the description of the offering of Cain, the Bible says, and Cain also, it looks as if Abel was saying, let me also do something. He quickly just found something. And the Bible says, and God rejected Cain and his offering. So the first person God rejected was Cain. And on the outside, there was nothing to reject Cain about. What God looked at was on the inside. God knew, you didn't honor me in what you were doing. You just did it because everybody was doing it. Just did it because everybody was doing it. So let every man be careful how he builds. Because if any man builds with straw, with stubble, with wood, he said, that day will reveal it. That day will reveal it. Because everyone will be tested by fire. Everyone will be tested by fire. You know, there's a kind of ministry that God must give you. Let me tell you something. Everything you do that the motivations are not right will just not last. When you see people who say, 10 years ago, this person ministered. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. The recent doctorate degree thing. I didn't apply for it. I have never in my mind thought that I will have an honorary doctorate degree. It didn't occur to me. It was never something I planned or fancied or expected. In fact, I struggled about it for a while until my father-in-law said, go and take it. Now, how did it come? There was somebody who got to know me 1 week after he received Christ. 1 week after he received Christ, he got to know me. In fact, I only got to know this information on the day of the investiture. I didn't even know. I knew he was a young believer, and I met with him as a young believer, and I discipled him. So I discipled him, you know. I remember that time he used to tell the story that he was such a drunk. Then he used to tell us that if you meet a person that drinks in the afternoon, the kind of person that goes like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, he was then a student, he will leave campus and in the afternoon during lecture to go and drink and come back. He said anybody who drinks in the afternoon like that, he says he's a serious drunk. So he used to tell us that was the kind of person he was. And he came to fellowship and I discipled him. As of that time, I didn't even really know what discipling somebody was. I didn't have a systematic way of discipling anybody. I just poured out my heart, poured out my life. I mean, every time he met me, he'll say, you remember, you used to give us books to read, you used to do this. I don't even remember many of those times. So this guy happens to become, he got into the system, you know, did his this and that and all that, and became the dean of student affairs in this organization. So they have already slated the people they were going to give this honor to. They have finished everything. They finished it since May. Then in September, it came to his heart that the people you don't know, you are giving the honor to. But this man was the man God used in your life to raise you. The guy just called me one day and I was struggling with it. At a point for 2 weeks, I refused to communicate. They say, send this one, send that one. I refused. And I think he sensed that I didn't want. So one day he called me. He said to me, he began to talk to me. So I spoke to my spiritual father and everything. And then I received his blessing for it and everything. And then, so it was on the day of the, if I had finished the investiture, he was walking by. Then he said, I hope you know that if I had not met you, I would have left the faith. He said, the reasons that I met you, he said, if I had not met you, I would not be a Christian today. Listen to me. There are things you... Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, if any man builds with clay, with stubble, with hay, he said, the day will reveal it. The guy is a pastor today. The guy went, the guy did his full-time master's in jets, went abroad to go and do his course, and that's how he got connected. The guy is a pastor. He told me, he said it casually. He was passing. He said, you know, I met you 1 week after I got saved. He said, if you had not discipled me, I will not be a believer. So he was like, if this honor will go to anyone, it must go to you. I pray that your walk will stand the test of time. And it begins with the quality of your heart and the obedience that God brings to your heart. It begins with the quality of your heart and the obediences that you follow based on the quality of your heart. Amen. Are we receiving something tonight? I said, are we receiving something tonight? So, let me just take the last point briefly and then we stand up to pray. Acts chapter 13. Media, can we have it? So point number two now. How do you provoke divine visitations? How do you provoke divine visitations? You provoke divine visitations by spending time with God. I call it communion. By spending time with God. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger. Now look at it. As at this time, sir, they were just what? Prophets and teachers. That was what all these people were. At the church in Antioch, there was just what? Prophets and teachers. And the Bible tells us who they were. Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. At this time, what was Saul? He was either a teacher or a prophet. That was the office this man was occupying. Praise God. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. As they ministered to the Lord, what was the content of the ministration they were doing? One of the things that they were doing at that time was what? Was fasting. We don't know how many days it was, but the Bible says as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what was the ministration? When the Bible says they ministered to the Lord, they worshipped. Are you hearing me? They prayed. They blessed the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, which means that there were two sets of fasting and ministering to the Lord. There was a fasting and ministering to the Lord that they were doing before the Lord, when the Lord spoke to them. Then when the Lord spoke to them, they went into another period of fasting and prayer. So I said something, I don't know whether it was here I said it. I said prayer actually is in three stages. There is a fasting and prayer you do to hear what God is saying. There's a fasting and prayer you do to know, okay, this thing you are saying, Lord, how is it going to happen? Then there's a fasting and prayer you do to secure what God has done. So I said something to us, I don't know which day I was, I think it was before we started, the last Sunday, I think, yes, about last Sunday. I said, Mr. Jemima, if today the Lord, if you and Sister Patience, if you were walking out of church and a brother walked up to any of you and said, I like you, I would like to marry you. See, you will make a mistake to go home and throw a party. And let me tell you something. That is how Satan has stolen the miracles of many people. You will make a mistake to go and do a Facebook post. Eh? To go and do a Facebook post. And the title of the Facebook post, "There's Time for Everything." You know, it looks very spiritual. I mean, if you do it like that, doesn't it look spiritual? But what you have simply done is that you have showed you have lifted up your heads. Your head has shown. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know that Isaac and Jacob, Jacob and Esau, when they were to be born, Jacob's hand came out first. Esau's hand came out first, and the midwives came tied a thread on it, but the Bible says he withdrew the hand. Is that all right? Now, let me tell you something about life. If you lift up your head before it's time, it will be cut off. When you have not secured certain things and you show yourself, it will be cut off. And listen to me, that is how Satan has dealt with a lot of people. When God shows you something, or when God is introducing you to something, this is not the season for celebration. It is a season of prayer. Let me tell you something. See, can I say this to you? It is God that lifts up men. It's not men. See, listen to me. Even in the matters of visibility, are you hearing me? Even in matters of visibility, something happened. A major organization in this country invited me to speak for them in one of their annual conferences. And I went to speak at the conference. Sincerely speaking, I know one or two people who are members of that organization. They are not leaders, but they are members. So in my heart, they were the ones that recommended me. Are you getting me? I was at the conference after I finished the first session. An elderly man walked up to me and said, he said, I'm the chairman of the local organizing committee. He said, "I insisted you must be the one to speak." I have never met the man. I've never seen him anywhere. I'm not even sure I have ever preached in the church that man is. He didn't even know my full name. I think he just knew my surname. He said, "I was the one." Listen to me. It's God that pulls you and brings you into a thing. It's not man. It's God that takes you and pulls you into something. I remember one of the major platforms I had the opportunity to preach. I just attended the meeting. And I attended the meeting, and the guest minister for that evening didn't come. The guest minister was supposed to speak in the evening and speak in the morning, and he missed his flight. So the pastor of the church had to cover up that evening. And as he was preaching, he saw me. After service, they say, okay, they say, "Should bring me to the office." When he brought me to the office, we were just talking with some very senior ministers. And he looked at me and said, "Ah, man of God, maybe you preach for us tomorrow." I said, "No," because I looked at the lineup. And when I looked at the lineup, there were people I considered my fathers. At least two or three of them were on the lineup. And I said, "No." He said, "No, you preach for us tomorrow." And he was joking. So I actually thought he was joking. The only thing was that the moment my feet got to the gate of the church, as I was going out of the building, the Holy Spirit dropped the word for the next day in my heart. So I knew that you may not escape preaching tomorrow. A word just dropped in my heart. So I went home. I was praying to prayer. "Lord, help me to make sure I don't preach tomorrow." So I came to the meeting in the morning. And the man of God went up to stage. He went up stage. It was like maybe an hour, 60 minutes. He preached for like 45 minutes. Even did ministration, laid hands. So the moment he saw me, I said, "Ah, thank God, this guy has decided to just preach." As he finished preaching, as he was closing, he just said, "Ah, Pastor Michelle is here. He's going to give us an exhortation." That was how I had to come. I looked at the time. They gave me, is it 25 minutes? Is it 25 minutes? They gave me about 25 minutes or so. So I was happy. I was trying to just round up. I just turned. I saw the pastor standing.
turned. I saw another 25 minutes has been added to my time. And I saw another. And let me tell you, I didn't know. Some of those fathers were watching the program. I was in Lagos for something. Pastor Poji just walked up and said, you preached in this place. Somebody called me. He said, what did you do in so-so-so place? He said, they called me and told me. We said, what did you do in so-so-so place? The 25, I didn't, because I, when I saw 25 minutes, in my heart, I calibrated 25 minutes message. It's God that pushes you out. It's God that pushes. So when certain things show up in you, are you hearing what I'm saying? And I want to state to you this thing by the Holy Ghost. Some of you will get a door. I say it to you by the Holy Ghost. Some of you will enter a door. Some of you will enter a door. This year, something very early this year, something will show its face to you. I said something will show its face to you. When it comes, it is a season of prayer. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? When it shows its face, it's a season of prayer. Some of you, it may even come as though it looks negative, but behind it is something positive. Now, if you don't push it in prayer, it is the negative that will happen. But if you push it in prayer, the positive will come out of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you, Elijah saw it, Elijah said to his servant, let me go and pray. He saw it. He didn't say, let's go and celebrate. You know, there was 3.5 years of no rain. So if you saw a cloud, what should you be doing? You should be celebrating, isn't it? Elijah said, no. This thing, let's push it in prayer. We push it in prayer, make it happen in prayer, then we come out for celebration. You push it in prayer until you have a note of victory in the place of prayer. Listen to me. You get your victory in the place of prayer, then you come out and look normal. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You come out and then things are happening around you. And people are wondering what happened. Are you hearing me? Two people can have the same invitation. When I say invitation, I'm not talking about a formal letter. Two people can be invited for something in the spirit. Three people can be invited for something in the spirit. Five people can be invited for something in the spirit. Somebody will go. Are you hearing me? The 10 virgins, by midnight, somebody's oil finished. Somebody had extra oil. The person that had extra oil was the one that met the bridegroom. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The thing shows up in face like this. It's not the time for celebration. It's not the time for making signboard. Are you hearing me? The thing shows up in face in it shows up like this. You get a hint, you get a nudge, you get an invitation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What you do is that you take that thing and go to prayer. And you pray until you have a breakthrough in prayer. That means you have resolved the matter in prayer. Listen to me. Even if they come out and look at you to your face, are you hearing what I'm saying? They look at you to your face and say, you will not get this thing, you will get it. They say you will not enter, you will enter. Because you have settled it at a level that is beyond them. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. If you entered the office of an MD and he signed your document, approved your document, and then the clerk that was giving you problem, when you go, when you're passing out, and the clerk say you will not get it, does it matter? That is what happens. Many times, people that really don't have authority in the spirit, they are talking nonsense. They don't know that you have already settled the matter spiritually. You have already dealt with it spiritually. So listen to me, this year, something is going to show up. Something is going to show up. When it shows up, are you hearing what I'm saying? Get the strategy. When it shows its face, it is not a sign for celebration. It's a sign for you to go into the inner room. You hear what I'm saying? And deal with the matter in the inner room. And deal with the matter in the inner room. When you deal with it in the inner room, there will be no opposition that will stand on the outside. The error that we make is that when the thing shows up, instead of us to go and deal with the matter in the inner room, we celebrate too early. So we become, is it like Esau now, that showed his hand and everybody was excited. Then the hand was withdrawn and somebody else went out. Let me tell you something. Let me close by this. I met a couple of people. Somebody told me something. I can't remember. Somebody told me something many years back. He told me about politics. He said in politics, he said if you are not spiritual, he said politics will cost you. He said somebody told me, I can't remember, he said that somebody was running for an office. Is that okay? So there were some guys that you know, in I hope you know that when they do campaign, there are some people that, you know, I hope you know that this politics, there is a scientific part of it. There are some people who know the science of election. So they saw some brethren and they told them, they said, these guys are good. So they went and picked like 3-4 of them to come and help this person's campaign. They moved into the place, did the maths, did the demography. One of my sons told me something. See, don't play with them. Oh, they are more intelligent than you think. When they come out, they look ordinary. But what they do behind the scene, they set up. One of my sons told me, he said, they set up a monitoring. He said, you know, there's a science behind it. So they told me they set up certain systems, and they delivered it. And these guys were believers. So they delivered, and they were promised certain positions. Then somebody who was not part of the campaign did not work with them. He went to a juju man. When he went there, the names of the brethren that did the work had already been taken to the shrine. Somebody went to the shrine and saw their names in the shrine. And it was simple. Those people must not be given those positions. I am telling you, none of them. They forgot about it. It was like they never served. It was like they never walked there. You know what it means to forget? Do you know that many of the people that get into power is when they come out of power, they say, ah, where were you? Atheist. They'll even tell you, I've been looking for you. You will be shocked. They said that they went there. Those guys, for 4 years, they didn't remember them. It was when the next election season came, then they remembered that when they were preparing, these were the guys that worked. They went to look for them. By that time, they were offended. That somebody told them, he went there and he saw their names on a list. There are some people that didn't do anything. So I'm trying to tell you, understand something. There are some people, their business is done in the spirit. Even negative, are you hearing me? Even negatively, they understand it. They understand that the real victory is not the running around that you did. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. Somebody else is running around on the physical. Are you hearing me? Somebody is just a merchant in spiritual matters. And the people who are dealing in the spiritual matters will come up ahead of the people who did it. Are you getting my point? So, that victory is dealt with and sealed in the spirit. So when you get a nudging in your spirit, when you get a leading in your spirit, when you are invited, and when I say you are invited, is that you see the signs. Are you hearing me? A brother walks up to you and says, I've been seeing you in church. How are you now? Say, where are you going to? Say, my house is on the other side. Say, let's walk down. And suddenly you know this let's walk is not ordinary. Don't go home and call your bestie and say, King San Abundia Fario. King Gan one of brother. Maybe by that time you don't even know his name. You say, King San one of brother then as well church. When any one of them the motor come out in the A, to have a Abundia Fario, but yeah, packing motor at church. Ya rakan, you have made a mistake. You have made mistake. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see, I call it, are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see the offer, take it, go into your closet. Listen, the Bible says, for he that sees you in secret, are you hearing me? Will reward you. It doesn't say he will answer your prayer. He will reward you. There's what is called the reward of prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
And the reward of prayer is visibility. That what you did in secret, God rewards you in the open. So people, are you hearing what I'm saying? So the response of God will be something that nobody can deny. It will be so obvious, nobody can deny. But if you take it and you begin to make noise, let's stand to our feet. Are you understanding how this is? That is how people, you know, you've seen people before, they tell me that, the Oga promised me, he told me it was going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. Sometimes you want to say, how did this thing not happen? How it did not happen was that this was a matter that should have been settled. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It was a matter that should have been settled in the spirit. You took it out of that place and you brought it to the open. And the forces that exist, are you hearing what I'm saying? They fought against it. The forces that exist, they fought against it. They fought against it. That's how people lose. Listen, that's how people lose contracts. So this one, that's how people lose it. That's how people lose it. And let me even tell you this. And let me tell you something dangerous. Sometimes, let me tell you this. Come. Let me show you something. Bring your book. I'll show you something. You know the Bible says what's that scripture now? The Bible says he is good unto all men, right? So myself and Emmanuel. Is that okay? Emmanuel is invited by this man for something. And what I did was to escort Emmanuel, right? And Emmanuel comes. Is that okay? And you give him this thing. And I'm there. And what you've done for him is something I desire. Are you hearing me? I was not invited. But he who is good unto all. Listen to me. I can go in the spirit. Are you hearing me? And place a demand in the spirit for that thing. Because he that is good to one is good unto all. Are you hearing me? It may not come again from this man. It may come from this man. But what happened was that God allowed me to see this transaction so that I can also go to him. Are you hearing me? Now, if I have a desire for it, instead of going to God, if I begin to fight this man, it's called covetousness. But when I go to God concerning it, he that giveth to all men gives me my own. Are you understanding me? So sometimes, God will allow you to see the breakthroughs of certain people. Not so that you can become envious or covetous, but so that you will also have the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And let me tell you this. This is how people move up in promotions. Many times, God, you know, if you read scripture, the Bible says that God allowed the Gentiles to hear the gospel so that the Jews can become jealous of what they have received, so that they also can go and receive. So sometimes, God, you will see, are you hearing what I'm saying? You are 5 girls, you came out of school, one will marry. The moment that one married, don't get envious. It's God that is talking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's God that is talking. Now, the error you will make is that you will either move in the flesh to get that thing, or you will just be getting, are you getting my point? What you are supposed to do once you see that, it is an invitation. The meaning of it is that your season has come. So, are you hearing me? When you understand that my season, so you understand that we are in the season. Now you go to the God who is good to all men. Are you getting me? And you lay a claim. So that is how, are you understanding what I'm saying? So among these men, among these men, God spoke, separate for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the ministry for which I have called them. Are you hearing me? But I hope you know that every one of them, God had a ministry for them. Every one of them. But these guys moved up. The next time we hear about them, they were no more prophets and teachers. They were apostles. Did anybody receive that word tonight? Ha!
How do you provoke heaven? You provoke heaven, one, by obedience. You provoke heaven by spending time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You spend time until the blueprint is given to you. Until the blueprint is given to you. Until the blueprint is given to you. And let me tell you this. I understood this thing. God brought me to a place where I understood it. So when I understood it, when I saw certain things, I knew it was an invitation. I knew it was an invitation. So you go into the spirit. I said something to us. I said, if I followed the normal geography of my background, I will not be doing what I'm doing today. But God had mercy on me. And God showed me. I saw it. So I knew that you gain access in the spirit. You gain access in the spirit. Let me even tell you this. You may not be gifted as other people. You may, are you hearing? That's why it is not the most beautiful that are married. It's not the most gifted. Are you hearing me? The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. You may even be a very, have you not seen it? You see a very good girl. You that even know the girl, you say, what's happening to this? Listen to me. There's something you need to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you move in. You see it. You move in there. And people are wondering, how did it happen? You settled certain things in the night. You came into access. I don't know whether you understand it. You came into access of some things. So when you hear that somebody fasted for 30 days or 40 days, you're wondering, what was the person looking for? The person saw something. Are you hearing me? And he went into that prolonged season. Are you hearing me? That he might access something into his life. I'd like you to open your mouth to pray. I know right now that there are things. See, find a position. You are going to pray. I want you to see. When Zion travailed, she brought forth. Tonight, you must bring forth something. Tonight, you must bring forth something. I want you to find for yourself a birthing position. And I want you to go into that place tonight where you are going to birth something. You're going to come out of tonight with something. You are not going to leave this place tonight just the way you came. But tonight, you will provoke a divine visitation.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.